Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries and Happy New Year. We hope your holiday season was safe and filled with good memories as you gathered with family and friends. Hopefully, you were blessed. Now we step into 2026, and we pray that this year brings blessings and prosperity to each of you. Today, I want to begin our year together with a lesson drawn from Genesis 4, 19 to 24. When we read the story of Lamech, his wives, and his children, it almost feels like we're flipping channels between a documentary on human achievement and a cautionary tale about human pride. There's triumph, there's tragedy, and there's some ugly, twisted logic. Today, we will break it down, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But before we get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us through another year and gathering us here at the start of a new one. Thank you for the memories, the protection, and the lessons of the past season. As we step into 2026, we ask for your blessing, your wisdom, and your presence to guide us. Open our hearts and minds as we turn to your word today. Teach us through the story of Lamech. Show us what to embrace, what to avoid, and how to grow in your grace. May your spirit lead us into greater understanding, deeper love, and lives that honor you. In Yeshua's name, amen. First, let's acknowledge the good. Lamech's children were pioneers. Jabal invents nomadic herding. Jubal invents music. Tubal-Cain invents metallurgy. These are not just minor footnotes. These are the foundations of civilization. Herding means survival. Music means culture and beauty. Metal tools mean progress and power. Human creativity is on full display. It's a reminder that even in a broken world, people are made in God's image, creative, resourceful, and capable of incredible things. From this, we learn that Yahweh's gifts show up even in flawed families and messy circumstances. Don't write off the achievements of people just because they're imperfect. God can use anyone's gifts for good. Amen? Then we hit the bad. Lamech is the first polygamist in Scripture. The man is literally breaking the mold. Instead of one wife, he takes two, stepping outside the pattern Yahweh set in the garden. Not a stretch to say things get more complicated when we ignore God's boundaries. The Bible doesn't give us a happy ending for Lamech's family. In fact, every polygamous family in Scripture is a mess. Lamech's story is the start of a pattern. When we start believing we can improve on Yahweh's design, we end up with more strife, not less. So from this, we can learn that when we step outside God's boundaries, whether in relationships, ethics, or any area of life, we might see short-term gains, but we sow seeds of trouble for the future. This isn't just a lesson from Lamech's story. It's a pattern repeated over and over in Scripture. Think of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. They saw the fruit, desired wisdom on their own terms, and stepped outside Yahweh's command. For a moment, they gained what they craved. Their eyes were opened, but the result was shame, broken relationships, and exile from paradise. The short-term gain was quickly swallowed up by long-term loss. Consider Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 16. God promised them a son, but when they grew impatient, Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham. Ishmael was born, an apparent solution to their waiting, but it brought jealousy, strife, and heartache into their family for generations, even unto today, as the descendants of Abraham's two sons still fight against each other. Look at King David. He saw Bathsheba and took her for himself in 2 Samuel 11. The temporary pleasure led to the unraveling of his household, deceit, murder, and rebellion among his children. Scripture is full of these stories, and it also gives us clear instructions. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." Galatians 6:7-8, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Paul is crystal clear here. When we sow seeds outside of Yahweh's design, we can expect a harvest that matches the seed. It might not come right away, but the consequences are always follows. That's an important thing to remember, because a lot of people think they're getting away with stuff. The consequences always follow, even if it takes a while to show up. Look at Israel in the wilderness. Another example. God set healthy boundaries for their worship, but when they made a golden calf in Exodus 32, it brought immediate satisfaction, a party, a sense of control, but the result was judgment, loss, and wondering. Samson is a cautionary tale too. Read Judges 13-16. Gifted and called by God, he continually stepped outside Yahweh's boundaries, especially with relationships. Remember Samson and Delilah? Each time he found short-term excitement, but it cost him his freedom, his strength, and eventually his life. Hebrews 12:16-17 warns us not to be like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Can you imagine that? For one meal. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. Esau gave up long-term blessing for a moment of satisfaction, and he couldn't undo it later. The New Testament puts it simply in James 1:14-15. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The lesson is clear. Yahweh's boundaries are not fences to keep us from joy, but guardrails meant to protect us from pain. Stepping outside them can feel freeing or rewarding for a moment, but the seeds we plant in those moments often grow into regret, brokenness, and consequences that last much longer than any temporary thrill. So as we start this new year, be wise about where we plant our seeds. Let's choose obedience, even when it means waiting or trusting Yahweh's timing. The harvest will be better, richer, and bring true peace. Let's pray for the courage to stay within Yahweh's boundaries and for the wisdom to see beyond the moment to the future he has for us. Now I want to talk about the ugly, the whacked logic of Lamech and sloppy grace. Because after we read about the accomplishments of Lamech's sons, the ugly, and this is where the errors in logic leap off the page. We call it the whacked logic of Lamech. Lamech gathers his wives and basically says, "Hey, listen up. I killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for bruising me. If Cain was avenged seven times, than Lamech 77 times. What? That's whacked logic right there. Let's break down this whacked logic. There's the first mistake he makes. He confuses justice with revenge. A wound for a wound might sound fair, but killing for a bruise, that's wildly disproportionate. The second mistake, he assumes that if Yahweh protected Cain, who killed out of jealousy, Yahweh will automatically protect him, even though his actions are even more violent and boastful. And that's the third mistake he makes. He turns a warning into a license. Yahweh's protection of Cain was an act of mercy, not a get-out-of-jail-free card for anyone who wants to escalate violence. Lamech is the first person in the Bible to boast about violence. He brags about being more dangerous than Cain and expects more protection. This is the whacked logic of pride. Yahweh let Cain off. Surely he'll let me off too, especially since I'm even tougher. Whacked logic right there. This is the roots of what we call sloppy grace today. Taking Yeshua's mercy as permission to keep on sinning. Scripture is crystal clear on this. Over and over, God warns his people not to mistake mercy for permission. Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? And Paul addresses the same twisted logic as Lamech. If God is merciful, maybe sin isn't a big deal. Paul's answer is as blunt as it gets. Absolutely not. In Galatians 5:13, he tells us, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Paul says freedom in Christ is never a license for sin. Freedom is meant for serving, not self-indulgence. Read Jude 1-4. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Jude warns that some people will twist God's grace into an excuse for ungodliness. That's sloppy grace in a nutshell. 1 Peter 2:16 tells us, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And again, in Hebrews 10:26, we see freedom is not a loophole for sin. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. There's a real danger in taking God's grace for granted and refusing to turn away from sin. So, what can we learn from all this? Celebrate the good. Don't be afraid of progress or creativity or human achievement. These are gifts from God, even when they come from unlikely places. And that's really what a lot of people in the church today are. They do. They're afraid of progress and creativity and human achievement, especially when it comes in the form of AI. They're so afraid. But it can be a good tool. And that's what we need to remember. AI is a tool. And people can be creative with it. We can use it for fast research. It's a tool. It's progress. It's a human achievement. And that's what we have to remember. A human being created AI. It's a program. A lot of things in the world, they're human achievements. Yeah, the enemy gets in and twists it the use of some tools, like guns, as well as AI. The internet itself. People cried foul when the internet came out. I mean, it's all things throughout history. People are like, no, that's from the devil. And most of it's not. Most of it's neutral. Or from, you know, it's from God. And he gave it to be a blessing. But then evil people do evil things with the tools. It's not the tool that's evil. It's the people. And if people use the tools for evil, then it's the person, not the tool. Because people who are good and righteous will use that tool for good things. The internet's being used to preach the gospel. You're listening, most likely, on the internet to this message. And so this, we can't be afraid of progress, creativity, or human achievement. Celebrate the good and use it for good. Be righteous. And even if ungodly people invent stuff that helps people, helps the world as a tool, it's okay. God can use anyone he wants. But also recognize the bad. Boundaries exist for a reason. When we ignore them, we invite chaos into our lives. So honor God's boundaries. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And when he wrote the Ten Commandments in stone, these were like boundaries, permanent boundaries. All 10 of them, permanent boundaries for our good. Don't let the enemy twist them or tell you that they're not valid today. And we don't want to do things in our own strength or our own logic. Our own logic can get whacked, like Lamech's. He made a mistake, first of all, marrying two wives. What the heck? In the garden, Yahweh set a precedent. One man, one woman, husband and wife. And that's still the way it is today. If you want to be blessed. Otherwise, if you try anything else, whether it's more than one wife or two women or two men, okay? Come on, people. This will bring chaos. It's whacked logic. God loves me, so I can do whatever I want because he wants me to be happy. That logic will lead you down the wrong path, people. So reject the ugly, whacked logic of sloppy grace. Don't mistake mercy for permission. Yahweh's patience is meant to lead us to repentance, not arrogance. Paul, Peter, Jude, and the writer of Hebrews all say the same thing. Grace is not a license to sin. It's an invitation to transformation. Amen. In closing, let me say this. Lamech's family is a mirror for us. We see our gifts, our flaws, our capacity for self-deception. But we also see that Yahweh's story doesn't end there. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. Even when humanity spirals, Yahweh keeps working, keeps calling, keeps redeeming. He sang the song, even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's still working. He continuously works to bring us to that place of repentance, into that relationship with him. He loves us. He loves us so much. And when we get off the path, he's there to help us get back onto the path. When we cross his boundaries, he's willing to forgive us and set us back on the path inside the boundaries. So if you've crossed the boundaries, if you got into whack the logic, bad stuff, repent. Return to Yahweh. Start this year off on the right path. Today, repent of your pride, your arrogance, your self-sufficiency, and your whacked logic. Let's be people who use our gifts well and respect Yahweh's boundaries and resist the temptation to twist mercy into a license to sin. Let's honor the grace we received by living changed lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word and the lessons we find in it, even in the difficult stories. As we step into this new year, help us to remember that your boundaries are good for us. They're to protect us and keep us on the path of righteousness that leads to blessing. Give us wisdom to recognize the difference between short-term gratification and lasting blessing. And may patience grow in us this year, that we may wait upon you in your timing and not try to birth an Ishmael. Strengthen us by your Spirit to walk in obedience, even when it's hard, and to trust that your way leads to life. Forgive us for the times we've stepped outside your will. Help us to learn from the past, to sow seeds of faithfulness, and to pursue your best for our lives. May the story of Lamech remind us not to twist your grace, but to let it change us from the inside out. Bless each person here with a year filled with your presence, your peace, and your purpose. Empower us to use our gifts for your glory, to honor your boundaries, and to walk closely with you every day. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Now, as you do life this week, remember to honor Yahweh's boundaries, walk in his wisdom, and steer clear of whacked logic, so that above all, there will be shalom in your home.